Just as the skies clear up and the weather turns warmer, crowds of people take refuge indoors in dark rooms. A glance at the calendar reveals why. The Ashland Independent Film Festival always runs in the first part of April, sending film lovers into theaters to view films both long and short, fiction and non, happy and sad, and every shade in between those poles. April 6th through 10th are the dates of this year's festival, and here's the person who must feel those dates bearing down on him something like a freight train. Richard Herskowitz is the executive director of the Ashland Independent Film Festival. Thanks again for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me, Jeffrey.
So just a basic welfare question. How much sleep do you get around this time of year?
It's been a little rocky, except surprisingly the last few days not so bad. I have amazing staff, and lots of people have been around for many years, so I have a lot of support.
How many years is it now for the Ashland Independent Film Festival?
This is number 16.
Number 16, okay. So it's definitely
my number two.
A teenager. You're number two, is that it?
Yeah. My second year here.
Wow, it feels like it's, I don't know, you seem like an institution already, in a good way.
Okay, I'll take that.
let's start with some of the people you're bringing in this year, and we'll start with the legend, James Ivory. It turns out he's from our part of the world.
Yeah, from Klamath Falls.
Mm-hmm.
And he still has a place in Klamath Falls, comes back every summer. I got to know him a bit. You know, he's a U of O graduate, and I worked there for several years. I also brought him to another festival. He's a phenomenal presence, incredibly important to independent filmmaking, the films he made with Ismail Merchant, his partner. He's still very active. And when I was at Sundance a couple of months ago, the hottest film there was a film called Call Me By Your Name with a screenplay by James Ivory. That one isn't going to be released till the fall, but Sony Classics has given a clip of that film for us to show at the beginning of the screening of his film Maurice, Maurice, it's pronounced Maurice in England. Anyway, Ivory will present that film, and we're going to show a short clip from his upcoming film, Call Me By Your Name.
The list of films is just incredibly long. Of course, Howard's End is one of them. Let's hear actually the trailer from Howard's End.
Howard's End was almost pulled down once. It would have killed me. It was left to me by my brother who died out in India. I love it so.
We have here a note purporting to be in your mother's handwriting. And it says, I would like Miss Schlegel, Margaret, to have Howard's End.
The voices of Vanessa Redgrave and Anthony Hopkins in Howard's End. And the Merchant Ivory name became mm-hmm. such a recognizable brand in film,
sure.
but a Guinness record too, I understand.
Oh, you'll have to tell me what that record is.
I believe it's like it's the greatest number of films cranked out by a partnership.
Uh-huh. Okay, that sounds right. Remains of the Day, Room with a View, Shakespeare Walla. On Sunday, Ivory, after showing these two films, Maurice and Howard's End, he's going to be on a panel on Sunday that Bill Rausch is going to host with another guest we're bringing, an Argentine filmmaker named Matias Pinheiro, and who also, like James Ivory, is known for his literary adaptations adapting Shakespeare plays. So for that particular panel, James Ivory is bringing a clip from his second feature film, Shakespeare Walla, and they're going to talk about Shakespeare adaptations, literary adaptations, with Bill Rausch of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. So that should be great.
That is an amazing career, though. And I look back, Shakespeare Walla is from 1965. Merchant and Ivory together made shorts mm-hmm. in the 50s, in 53, 57,
yep.
59. But the rest of this list, I mean, Roseland in 1977, A Room with a View in 85, Slaves of New York in 89. Mm-hmm. I'm skipping here, too. Mr. and Mrs. Bridge in 1990, Howard's End in 92, Remains of the Day in 93.
Yeah, I wish I could have shown many more.
No doubt. Wow. So a number of things that you – and how many times will James Ivory be out for talkbacks?
One talkback and then two screenings. And, of course, he'll be around. He's really eager to come. He slips in and out of town occasionally in the summer to see OSF Productions. Like I said, he's an Oregonian.
Richard Herskowitz, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, executive director at the Ashland Independent Film Festival, which begins on the 6th and ends on the 10th. And you can join the conversation on the exchange. Maybe you have some questions about the films that are showing this year or about the process that it takes to pick them, which I'm always fascinated by. We'll talk about that too. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So let's make a big shift in in length anyway, from the very long and very distinguished to the very short. Mm-hmm. What is CineSpace about?
CineSpace is actually a film competition in which filmmakers are invited to make a film up to 10 minutes long, in which at least 10% of the footage has to be drawn from the NASA archive. And actually, NASA is sending a representative down. He spoke here last year, too. His name is Carlos Fontenot. He's an amazing presence, and he's actually going to be going around to schools in Ashland and Medford. Really inspiring. Anyway, he introduces these films on Saturday morning. It's a great family program. These films all use this space footage in inventive ways. There are narrative films, documentaries, experimental films, animations. So a very highly entertaining program of about 10 or 11 short films, all using space imagery.
Here's a clip from one of them, from one of the CineSpace films. This is called Isle.
That's not the moon, no way. There's just no way. I don't believe it.
Yeah.
You can't even see it from here. It's no way. Whoa, what the... Wow.
The streets become home. Can't walk, can't breathe, can't look, can't be. You have endless excuses to ticket me. We're filling your jail cells in county. This system was not made for me, so we look to create new systems. As we look into the sacred skies, share space with one another, we find each other. Like the moon crashed into the earth, sometimes we run into each other with greater purpose. A stranger becomes a mother, a son, a sister. Together, a new love is born. A new star is born.
That's from Isle, which is one of the CineSpace films airing at the Ashland Independent Film Festival. So does NASA just let the footage out there as public domain stuff?
Yes. Well, that's what they want to make people aware of, and why they got involved in this competition, that this footage is all public domain and it's online. The guy who's speaking here, Carlos Fontenot, is in charge of imaging out of the International Space Station. So he's the person responsible for making all this stuff available. And filmmakers use them in the most inventive ways, and that's what this show's about.
So with the footage in the CineSpace pieces, I can imagine there's just lots of mind-blowing shots.
Oh, yeah. Mind-blowing shots. Also historic imagery, speeches by John Kennedy, his famous speech, As I Set Sail. A lot of people use that, but mostly spectacular images from space.
So when programming a film festival, and you got lots of little niche parts like this, like the CineSpace stuff,
mm-hmm.
how much of what you do is these films are hot versus finding the equivalent of notes on an emotional keyboard? I mean, you're looking for lots of different stuff here. I'm just curious to know what the general approach is when you're picking things for a festival.
Yeah, I try to get a wide range of things. First of all, CineSpace comes to us as a package. I'd say about one third of what shows in the festival is stuff that I pursued. I thought this will be great for Ashland. I invited it here. Two-thirds, actually, comes out of the pool of submissions. Over 800 films sent to us. There I try to get just a broad range of films, documentary, narrative, experimental films, films about social justice, films that are entertaining. Anyway, I have an army of people who work with me on narrowing down that massive pool.
I was going to ask you how many people are watching films, because it was interesting. I talked to one of them recently who said, "Well, yeah, we get to watch the bad stuff."
They're heroes. They throw their bodies on the explosion so that I don't suffer. Anyway, they're 25 pre-screeners. And every film that gets submitted to us is looked at by at least two people. In addition to the 25 pre-screeners who rank each film and write comments on them, there are 7 associate programmers who are at the higher level who discuss with me the final selections. So I look, and a lot of films just don't make it. Once it's clear they don't make it past the pre-screeners, that wipes out about 80% of them, 75% maybe. And then I myself probably look between early December and late January, close to 200 films. So anyway, it's a real collective process. And I'm still relatively new to Ashland, so having this team of people who really know what audience tastes are, what's really going to resonate in the community, that's really helpful to get that feedback.
Oh, sure. So all the screeners have maintained consistency through the years, even though...
Yeah, somebody like Wendy Connor, who's a senior programmer, and Daryl Pierce, another senior programmer, who's been here for almost from the beginning. They're invaluable.
So either by your own feelings or by what you inherited when you took over the Ashland Independent Film Festival, is there a brand that AIFF has worked to establish?
Yeah, you know, I guess it's really clear but first of all, this is an independent film festival, and American independent film is the emphasis here. That is, films made outside the mainstream that represent voices that are not heard. So, for example, you know, roughly 50% of the films we show are by women directors. Films by and about people of color, various social justice themes. There's a great need to compensate what's available in commercial movie theaters and the narrow perspectives there, the relative limited number of voices heard. Anyway, that was the brand that I inherited. I'm very proud to be able to move forward.
Richard Herskowitz is the executive director at the Ashland Independent Film Festival, April 6th through 10th, so getting started later on this week. You can join us on The Exchange with your thoughts on films or films you'd really love to see at the festival. This is the chance to buttonhole Richard about that. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So as we mentioned, it rings, you know, fiction and nonfiction and documentary. So let's talk about documentaries. Can you give us a little setup on what lies upstream before we hear it?
This film it's coming under the larger banner of activist film. That's a major emphasis for us this year. We have films about activists like the opening night, the film Dolores Huerta. We have many activists who are represented in the film coming. But then there are films themselves that are acts of activism. This filmmaker, Cullen Hoback, just decided, to investigate chemical dumping into drinking water, and he pursued this through the from North Carolina to Flint, Michigan. Just a dogged investigator, and we watch him with his camera digging up one shocking thing after another. Anyway, he's going to be here himself presenting it. What Lies Upstream?
Here's a clip from that.
The plan was to test near major industrial sites in the river. If we found any chemicals at a high concentration, we would test for that same chemical in taps downstream.
Have you been drinking the water?
I haven't since the whole thing started. You know, you have one bout with a rare cancer and you're real careful after that.
Yeah, I'm real curious what they're putting in the water.
I am too.
Curiosity about what's in the water there as we talk about hear from What Lies Upstream, one of the documentaries of the Ashland Independent Film Festival. This one seems to get more timely every day with the recent relaxation of environmental rules by the administration.
That's right. Yes. The Ashland Food Co-op is co-sponsoring that film with us, and the urgency of this issue is something that matters to them too.
Okay, also about water, at least things that live in water, is something called Medusa Smack. So first, let's just hear a sample of the sounds that lie beneath this. Trippy music, but it's absolutely intentional, I understand. What is Medusa Smack about?
Okay, well, this is something that is part of an installation show that I co-curated with Scott Malborn, the director of the Schneider Museum. It opens this Thursday, actually. Wednesday night is the opening. And Medusa Smack is one of the interactive media installations. It's actually a dome that you lie under, a tent or a dome, in which the imagery of a jellyfish that the artist Vanessa Rennick shot at the Oregon Coast Aquarium is projected above you. You lie on these pillows and you look up and you see the footage. The music that you're hearing is composed for this piece by Tara Jane O'Neill, who is a composer-musician out of Los Angeles. And actually, on Saturday night at the museum, Tara Jane O'Neill is coming from L.A., and she's going to perform the score live. And we're going to – people, whoever can fit under the tent will be able to watch it there. But we're also going to be projecting the film in the main gallery. And there'll be other works by Vanessa Rennick that are going to be shown that night as well at the museum. And then again on Sunday, she's doing a retrospective program at the Varsity Theater.
All right. So the museum is Science Works, hands-on museum?
No. The museum is the Schneider Museum of Art at SOU. That's where this show, and by the way, this piece that I just described, Medusa Smack, that you lie under, is just one of about a dozen media, interactive media installations. And this is just something where artists, you know, media artists are moving outside the movie theater and giving you moving image creations that you kind of interact with physically. But you just mentioned Science Works, so that's another example of the kind of thing that we're looking into at the festival, which is artists who are using virtual reality headgear to give people experiences. And we're actually exploring that with Science Works on Saturday afternoon. One of these filmmakers, his name is Dre Cooper, and he is a filmmaker who's had several films in our festival before, but he's been captivated by this new virtual reality 360-degree filmmaking gear that's become available and affordable. And he made his latest film, Policing Flint, with virtual reality equipment, and he's going to show that and talk about that on Saturday afternoon at Science Works. We're also going to have other virtual reality gear that people are going to be able to sample. That's going to be between 2 and 5 p.m., and it's free.
So you're going to have a room full of people with the virtual reality headgear on and everything?
That's right.
Wow, that sounds exciting. In addition to lining up films, I mean, how many artists like Dre do you have coming into town? How many different people to come?
I believe it's about 60 to 70 people coming in representing the films, and yes, they're coming from all over. One of the amazing things about the Ashland Film Festival in Ashland is the hospitality we offer, and a lot of local bed and breakfast hotels made rooms available. Filmmakers just go for the hospitality here. The word is out in the independent film community, and people try very hard to get into this film festival.
But Ashland is a place to go.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's what we're talking about, the Ashland Independent Film Festival, April 6th through 10th. Richard Herskowitz is the executive director and our guest on The Exchange. 800-838-3760 if you'd like to visit by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. There's one film whose title we can't even say. It involves the Rolling Stones. Let's just call it Sucker Blues.
Uh-huh.
What makes it so rare and so unusual?
Well, the film can only be shown four times a year. It's held at the Robert Frank Archive, and those restrictions were put on the film by the Rolling Stones. The film, in many ways, when it was finished in 1972, was too frank about the, so to speak, the filmmaker's name is Robert Frank, but about the rock and roll lifestyle, the groupies, the drugs, whatever. It's in there and highly visible, and it couldn't be released. Anyway, but it's in this archive, and the head of the Robert Frank Film Archive, Marion Luntz, herself is going to come here and present it. That's how it's allowed to be seen. So it is the rarest of rare film opportunities.
All right. We're not saying the whole name, but Sucker Blues is certainly part of it. You can use your imagination for the rest. On the opposite end of the spectrum, you have some films for kids. You have a whole program of films for kids?
That's right. We have we have several programs that are great for families, including the one I mentioned, CineSpace, but KidFlix, the best of the New York Children's International Film Festival. This is the second year we're bringing it back because that's the best children's film festival in the U.S., if not the world, and they have they just put together this amazing package. We're going to show that several times next weekend. It's a great film series program for kids from 3 years old and up.
But the whole New York Festival is just kids' films?
The New York Children's International Film Festival is a whole festival of that, but this is the best that they've put into a single package.
Fun. And there's a program of locals only, once again, I see at Ashland.
Several. There are three locals only packages. There's just a lot of good stuff this year. There's also a feature by a local filmmaker, Molly Kruseman, called Earth Season Gap Year. But yeah, three locals only short programs that are the best of the locals, including, you know, the launch program. We do a program every year in which we solicit films by kids in the area, and that's called the launch program, and that's included in one of the locals programs, the one that's called Family Friendly.
One of my neighbors across the street had his film in launch either last year or the year before.
Uh-huh.
It's fun stuff. There's a really interesting combination here of a documentary about music scored for films called Score.
Mm-hmm.
And you have also have Joby Talbot,
yes,
who lives in the Ashland area, who does movie scores,
yes,
and lives nearby. So you really lots of opportunity, as I see here, where you're pulling together.
Well, I've just been discovering more and more people in the Ashland area who are major figures in the film world. And Joby Talbot, who did the score for Sing this summer, as well as Son of Rambo and several other films, major composer, lives in the area. And this film is a wonderful film about movie composers. So we've asked Joby to come at the end and give his comments and reflections.
Sounds fun. Now, obviously, we've discussed this at previous interviews about the Ashland Independent Film Festival. You can't see everything. It just is not physically possible. So what does figure, though, to be the hottest ticket? I mean, what's
your... Oh, my God. Well, I mean, that Sucker Blues you mentioned is way gone. The talk with James Ivory. People can still get in to see James Ivory, but coming to his films like Morris and Howard's End, those are still available. But anyway, that talk back is was one of the first to go. We're already about I think I looked this morning and close to 75 screenings are sold out, but there are still about another 75 available. So there are tickets, but people should move quickly online. There are also all programs, even when nothing's sold out, they're in rush. We do leave a number of tickets available at the theater. So if you get on the rush line, you do have a chance of getting in to almost anything.
In the age of streaming services and YouTube, I mean, what keeps people coming to festivals, and what does that change, if anything, about the job of a programmer?
That's a great question. The interactive experience, that's what I think draws people to festivals, what a social experience it is. The presence of the artist in the theater taking questions, the various live components that we add to films, like the live music with Vanessa Redgrave, but just the interactivity and the buzz, among the viewers. There's, online, people just love being online, getting in conversations with their neighbors about what they saw and what they recommend.
Ashland Independent Film Festival, April 6th through 10th. Richard Herskowitz is the executive director. Thanks again so much for taking time out of what must be a very busy week to talk to us.
Thank you, Jeffrey. All right.